The 22nd Amendment was ratified 70 years ago, limiting the president to serving 2 4-year terms, a move aimed at preventing any one person from solidifying too much power. But how about one family? The United States has seen its share of powerful political families. The Adamses, Roosevelts, Bushes all had 2 members serve as president. Others have had a big influence on elections, even when they didn't win multiple terms. Our guest says these political dynasties are bad for the country, and we should consider passing a new amendment that would bar the spouses, siblings, or children of former presidents from winning the presidency themselves. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea, family members of ex-presidents being ineligible to serve in the White House? Do you worry about the effect that some of the more powerful families in politics have on the government? If another member of the Trump or Obama or Clinton or Bush family ran for president, would you consider voting for them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Philip Wallach is a senior scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he researches the separation of powers and Congress. He wrote about this for Politico magazine. Philip, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
Well, do you think we have a political dynasty problem here in the country, or at least an issue with presidential families having just a little too much influence?
This was something on my mind in 2015 as we were gearing up for the presidential election the next year. And there looked like a pretty serious possibility that 2016 would be Clinton versus Bush. And I imagined what a school child learning about the American presidency of the late 20th century, early 21st century would learn, and it would be Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Clinton or Bush. They would think that you had to be a member of one of these two families to become president in our country, which just seemed so awful to me. And obviously that's not how things turned out, but it is the case that Jeb Bush's presence in the 2016 election seriously distorted the contest on the Republican side. And I think it is the case now that people are too ready to think of the Republican Party as the Trump family party, as if somehow this family is likely to just have a lock over the nominations in the years to come. And I think that's immensely unhealthy. And I think it would be good to have an amendment in the Constitution just making it impossible.
Before we get into how an amendment like that might work, let's look at one we already have. The 22nd Amendment says, hey, 2 terms in office and that's it, 2 4-year terms, ratified in 1951 after Franklin Roosevelt had served, elected 4 terms, served 3 and some of that. Can you talk about the reasoning behind that amendment? And you write, not just as Republicans angry at Roosevelt, but as a tool to keep one figure from dominating American politics.
Sure. So obviously, Franklin Roosevelt was one of this country's greatest presidents. But there were a lot of problematic things about the way he and his administration operated. One of the best illustrations of this comes from 1938, when Roosevelt was under some political pressure, including from members of his own party, and he decided to go after some of the members of his own party, trying to support their primary opponents and get them out of office. For the president to do that would be one thing, but it actually turned out that people who worked for the Works Progress administration, the WPA, were out there working those campaigns, essentially trying to get information out to voters to support Roosevelt's favored candidate. So there was a danger that was perceived by both Democrats and Republicans that FDR was trying to turn the federal government into a kind of giant political machine that would operate on his behalf. And so that led to some changes. It led to something called the Hatch Act of 1938, which you occasionally still hear about in the news today, that says that federal employees are not allowed to get involved in electioneering. It also led to a sort of more general push to depersonalize government and make sure that we got the rule of law and not the rule of men, even from this growing bureaucracy that we had from the New Deal. And so that led to things like the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946.
Talking to Philip Wallach from the American Enterprise Institute, he wrote a piece in Politico magazine saying we need a new constitutional amendment that says if you are a spouse or a kid or a sibling of an American president, you don't get to run for president yourself. Good idea, bad idea? What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. So I've summed up a couple times, Philip, this idea for a new constitutional amendment. Lay out how you see this working, who in particular would be barred from seeking the White House.
Well, to be honest, I haven't thought through all of the nitty-gritty details, but the general idea is just, yeah, if you're a close family member of somebody who has served as president, we're going to say, sorry, you're not eligible yourself to become president of the United States. And I threw out there spouses, siblings, children, people who have talked to me about this piece and said, what about ex-spouses? I get rid of them too. My feeling is, you know, the contribution that we can get from any of these people is just not necessary for our American republic to function in a healthy manner. And the cost of having the shadow of these families hang over our politics is really quite immense. And so, you know, there's a certain sense of unfairness. This proposal, I'm surprised how much it does, but it seems to offend people's sense of fairness. Well, they should be allowed to run just like anybody else. That's not what it's about. It's about making sure that our republic functions well, and we would do better without having this family overhang.
Well, I want to give a listen to a woman whose family would have been affected by this amendment, the wife of one president, mom of another, and mom of yet another presidential hopeful, Barbara Bush, former first lady, talking in 2014, asked about the possibility of Jeb Bush running for president. Here's a listen to some of what she had to say.
I think this is a great American country, great country. And if we can't find more than two or three families to run for high office, that's silly, because there are great governors and great eligible people to run. And I think that the Kennedys, Clintons, Bushes, there are just more families than that.
Could you talk about that statement? If we have these dynasties, her concern there in a family that was at the center of this, are we reducing our talent pool for higher office?
Absolutely. That's exactly my argument, is that we are sort of drinking stagnant water when there's no reason for us to do that. It's a huge country with so many talented people, including talented government administrators and managers who would make great presidents. And we need to expand our idea of who ought to be in the presidency rather than just going back to these same families. And I thought Barbara Bush, that interview that you just played a clip from, was right on the money. Unfortunately, she changed her tune, got behind Jeb finally in that campaign in the following election cycle. But I think she nailed it there. We don't need to depend on the same families, and it's an unhealthy tendency that we have to do so.
Why is that? Why do we do that as Americans? In theory, we, you know, the country was started with the idea that we shouldn't be ruled by literal dynasties. Why have we sometimes, do you think, gone back to Adamses and Kennedys and whatnot again and again?
Well, I think there's an undeniable value to the celebrity that being a child of a president can bring someone. And so it just gives someone a real leg up. It gives them something to strive for. And it makes a certain amount of sense just in terms of our human attention spans. But especially in this age of social media, where there's a chance for individuals and families to sort of grab hold of the emotions of their followers and manipulate them on a regular basis, I'm worried that connection is overpowering our more rational impulses to look for the most able men and women to lead our government.
We're picking up our talk with Philip Wallach, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, about his idea for a constitutional amendment to prevent close family members of former presidents from running for the White House. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like that idea, keeping close family members of current and former presidents out of the White House themselves in the future? Do you worry that we go to political dynasties again and again? Clinton's, maybe Trump's in the future, Bush's, and so on. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Lynn is with us in Dubuque. Lynn, hello.
Hi, this is Lynn. I am just overwhelmed at what I'm hearing. How many more changes in the Constitution does the left want? They're just afraid Trump's son or Hunter would get in the next time. And I just can't believe what I'm hearing. Change the Constitution. Change the Constitution. What are you afraid of?
Lynn, thanks for the call. Hunter would be Joe Biden's son, but concern about Donald Trump's children possibly running for office. I don't know. Are you motivated by a perspective coming from the left, Philip?
I'm certainly not. I'm not a man of the left at all myself, and I share the caller's concern for changing the Constitution without thinking about it, but. This is something that I'm trying to ground in a good conservative tradition. That's where the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution came from, and that's where this idea would come from, this idea of what I call anti-Caesarism, this idea that as part of the Republican tradition in America, that's part of our nation's founding, we're against monarchy. We're against the idea of elevating any one family to this place where it can dominate our politics for generations. And I think we should reflect that in the Constitution. So I don't think that that's a radical or certainly not a leftist move. And as I said, this was something I'd been thinking about before Trump ever came onto the political scene.
Thanks for the call, Lynn, at 800-642-1234. And we did have two Bush presidencies, a one-term and a two-term presidency. You know, there were commonalities, of course, in their politics. They also each brought their own perspectives to the table. They were different people. Do you really see that as an example of, you know, a potential slippery slope to Caesarism, to some sort of domination of politics by one family?
Well, listen, I would say plenty of things in defense of both Bush presidencies, and I'm plenty of things critical of them, too. I don't think they were extraordinarily bad presidents, really, by historical standards. But when I think about the Bush family's presence, I really do think about that 2016 election most of all. Think about the way that Jeb Bush's presence in that way drew all this money and attention to him that might well have gone to somebody else who would have been better able to contest that nomination with Donald Trump. I think that would have been a healthier dynamic. Likewise, I think about Hillary Clinton. I think Hillary Clinton, there's a lot to be said for her, but I don't think she was ultimately a very good presidential candidate. And nevertheless, she sort of dominated the conversation about who the next Democratic presidential nominee would be from the time that she became a senator, really. And so in 2008, there she was. And in 2016, she had the nomination. And I just don't think that hanging around those two families was a good thing at all.
Let's go back to our callers now. Michael is with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi, guys. So I kind of both agree and disagree on this topic. I agree because I don't think we should have dynasties. It's too reminiscent of a monarchy, and that's not what America is. And I kind of agree, too, I kind of disagree because who knows what the kid will be like or the other family member will be like. I think the real problem, though, is that running for office requires too much money, and there are so many people out there that are running for these offices, but they can't afford to put themselves out there. So like your guest said, who might be better able to run the country or run an office? We don't know because we never see most of the people that are out there that are running.
Michael, thanks for that call. And that's an interesting point. And you've kind of touched on this a little bit, Philip, that the bar to running for president is kind of high. It's expensive. and this name recognition of a Clinton or Bush or whatever gives you a certain leg up. Is it a thing where we need to change the process to bring more people into the mix rather than do it by excluding some people with that last name from the mix?
Well, I think we have to look to our parties, who are really the ones most responsible for choosing who ends up on that final ballot. And I think both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have been struggling in recent years to try to figure out, well, how can the party project its own influence and its own sense of who would be a good president into figuring out what that pool of candidates should look like. And mostly they haven't really figured it out. They've mostly found themselves sort of playing defense against outsiders who bring name recognition into that contest. Trump wouldn't have been the first one. You think of Herman Cain in the previous election cycle. And so I do think we need to think about how our two political parties could do a better job supplying us with a pool of talented candidates.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Philip Wallach from the American Enterprise Institute about his concerns about political dynasties in the United States. Maybe a constitutional amendment, he says, to keep spouses, siblings, children of presidents from running for president themselves. Let's go back to your calls. Bev is with us in Dodgeville. Bev, hi.
Hello. My question involves not necessarily the president, but what about the members of Congress? What about a term limit for those individuals? We have people in Congress that have been there. It's like their full-time job. It's their whole career has been there. What about those people? Shouldn't we have some type of term limits on their positions?
Bev, thanks for the call. We started talking about that 22nd Amendment and term limits for presidents, Philip. Bev says, why not members of Congress?
Well, I'm very much against term limits for members of Congress. I think it would end up depriving Congress of some of the most talented and experienced people that give Congress some of its clout to stand up to the White House, which we need more of right now. Congress is really finding itself dominated by the executive branch far too much in our current politics. So I did say in my political piece, I say we could think of extending the same spirit of this amendment to members of Congress. It's a little bit strange how many members of Congress came from political families. That's the biggest way to get a leg up on a congressional seat is to have had somebody from your family be a politician before you. And so I think we could consider extending the family ban to people trying to run for Congress, too, although it wouldn't be a necessary application.
And thanks for that call. Philip, just in our last minute, do you see a way to expand our pipeline of talent, whether we're talking about Congress or White House races, so that it isn't just those people who have that family background in politics that are the first to think of running?
I mean, I think the pools we get are so shaped by the party. So we really, as individuals, we need to think about how to engage with those political parties more. And I think, you know, it's a trend in recent years to see more and more people registering as independent and not as members of parties. And they're sort of against one party more than they are members of another. But I think we need, as citizens, to think about how we interact with those parties, whether they're serving our interests. And if they're not, maybe we need to become more active as citizens in encouraging them to provide us with different kinds of candidates for federal office.
We'll leave it there, Philip. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
That's Philip Wallach, senior scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he researches the separation of powers and Congress. We've been talking to him today about his piece for Politico magazine, where he calls for an amendment barring former relatives of former presidents from also running for president. He says maybe spouses, siblings, and children, though he says the details are open to negotiation. You can find a link to that piece, by the way, at WPR.org/Central Time.